They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Shu Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Shu Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, joining us today, we have Carney Chews Garcia. Carney's got one of the most amazing stories I think I've heard. And over the years, I have heard a lot of stories, but this has got a little bit of everything in it. And I think it's fit for a Hollywood movie. It's got the whole thing. We're going to go through and we're going to find out what happened. Carney, first of all, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for sharing your story with us.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome.
Now, you sent me some information, and I was reading some of this stuff, and I'm just sort of scratching my head. Tell me about it. Tell me what happened. Tell us your story, basically.
Okay. Well, my husband and I bought in a community where there was 416 condos, obviously attached condos, and we bought 15 years ago, lived happily for 13 until my husband, his name got written in for to be a board member. He wasn't running, but the people in the community knew us very well, and they conspired and wrote down his name, and he won a seat on the five-person board. He was elected to vice president and serving with people who had been our neighbors for the past 12 years. I wouldn't say they were our friends, but definitely neighbors and acquaintances. So after 3 months on the board, he discovered some major discrepancies in the invoicing and brought it to the board president's attention, and the reaction he got was it was very unusual, extremely unusual, especially for someone who I have known for 12 years and to be a calm person. And that's where it all began. 2 weeks later, we started receiving death threats at my work, at our house, and that's when the whole story started to unravel.
You're telling me now that his name was put in there. He didn't actually run for the board?
No, people were asking him. We have two dogs, and we would walk, you know, in our neighborhood twice, three times a day. And my husband works for a Fortune 100 company and works with government contracts, but he works from home. So, you know, we were very visible in the community. And people were unhappy with the board, but nobody would run against them. So I guess they figured if one person got on that was honest, they could, you know, my husband could make a difference. But I think we made a difference, but there was a lot that went along with trying to make a difference.
No, I understand, and it usually does when you go in and start trying to upset the apple cart, which has been pretty much, by the sounds of things, what's been going on. But somewhere I read that although his name was put in, he actually won with the highest number of votes. So apparently
yes,
a lot of people wanted him on the board.
Yeah, there was cumulative voting, so the people in the community could give one vote to the people who were running, one each. They could give two votes each, or they could give all five to my husband, which he basically won. There were very few people who didn't give him five votes.
So
it was a landslide.
It sounds like it. So he got on there, and I saw the email that he, or the thing that he wrote. He said he worked for a Fortune 100 company, mm-hmm. where the interests of the company and the clients were utmost. But he noticed that things that didn't seem to be the way things were working out.
Yeah, my husband is a very, very, very ethical and honest person. And I really feel like when he first saw things weren't going, discrepancies, he asked me what he should do. And I said, well, I think you should talk to the president, you know, by yourself, since we do know him. And maybe it's, you know, a misunderstanding. But after he did that, and I was present, it was very clear that something was not right. And then a week or 2 weeks later, we got the death threat telling us to back off. And then I knew, I just, that was it. Then I started to get involved, and I said, we need to really, really look into this, because now I think it's worse than what we think.
So it was when you didn't back down then? The death threats came. Somebody actually did try to run you or your husband or both of you over?
One of the contractors who was making the most money in the, our community had a lot of slab leaks, and it was a big money maker for any vendor. So the vendor and the president had a long time relationship of 20 some years, and this no longer is speculation because it came out in the deposition, but it wasn't disclosed, his relationship. And he was, you know, this vendor was making close to $300,000-$400,000 a year, on our property. And I looked up his license, and he actually had a suspended license. So I made a complaint with the California, the contractors board. And the minute I made a complaint, they sued me for interfering with their business, both the contractor and the HOA. So I had two civil lawsuits filed against me. Both of them were for intentional interference with business relations, negligent interference with business relations, and one of them was also for slander.
So they had something to hide, obviously.
Yeah, so when the threats didn't work, the lawsuits they tried the lawsuits. One of the board members said horrible, completely not true things about us throughout the community, used the email list for the community because she was a board member. And I never responded. We took the high road. But finally, after 7 months, I got sick of it. I researched, you know, because I didn't want to cost the association any money by filing a lawsuit against the association. So I found I could take her personally to small claims court for defamation, which I did, and the judge awarded my husband and I $5,000.
So you were called things like, they said you were demonic, you were members of the KKK, you were mentally ill, and you were the Saddam of Seagate.
Yeah, we got $1,000 per email.
So, $1,000 per email.
Yeah, for the one calling us Saddam of Seagate, for the one calling us demonic, there was one calling us KKK, and then there was another calling us, I think it was like complete filth and mentally ill and mentally retarded. So her defense was, Your Honor, this was made on Facebook. And my husband is in the IT industry. So he said, Your Honor, Facebook is the number two visited website in the world. And the judge said, yeah, we're like, what is your response to that? You know, and she had none. And then she said, well, Your Honor, it was in the heat of the moment. All this was made in the heat of the moment. And then the judge said, well, I was going to give you that. He said, but you made this over a 7-month period. And he rendered the verdict right there. He didn't send it to us in 2 weeks. He said we were to get $1,000 per email.
So these were posts that she put on Facebook?
She emailed them to the association, and she also put them on the Facebook page for the community.
And this was who? This was the vice?
This was, at the time, she was the treasurer. She's still on the board. Right now she's the vice president. But at the time, my husband was vice president and she was treasurer.
And so as treasurer, she attacked you guys. Well, that's not very professional. I kind of liked what your husband wrote. He said, I'm accustomed to working in a professional environment where business decisions are made for the benefit of the company and according to company policy. I wasn't used to people making decisions based on their personal emotions or if they liked you or not. And I think that sentence right there says a whole lot about how unprofessional and unbusinesslike these businesses are that are foisted on us, that we have to live with. I mean, you've got people like this woman who's making these accusations, and that is just immature and childish.
Yeah, and you know, by not responding, it made her more angry. So our non-response made it, you know, even worse. So there's really no way you can deal with people like that. If you respond, that's what they want you to do. And if you don't respond, it gets a matter. But my husband and I, we're not going to argue over email or Facebook with this woman. I mean, it would seem so pointless.
Continued for how long? You said 7 months.
7 months. And then we took her to court. And we got offers from Judge Judy, Joe Brown, Judge Mathis. I mean, people, it was just a wacky.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, almost immediately. Like, Judge Judy had FedEx something the next day. And I was never about the money. I never collected on the judgment because I wanted the piece of paper, like, to show, just so she would shut up. Like, just leave. Don't bother us. I had to see her every day. She had to drive by my house, and it was just, it was tiring because, you know, she was older, and I respect people. She is still my neighbor, and, you know, my husband was still able to make decisions and just view her as a number, not a person he didn't like. I mean, I guess it's just much harder for people to do that. They have to like you to give you, you know, they have some control in the community, and that's what they thrive on.
That, I think you've hit the nail on the head right there, is these people have no control in their lives and in their real everyday lives. And so they get on the board and they just act like a bunch of monsters. What they're doing is bullying, terrorizing, abusing. And these things, you know, Saddam of Seagate, mentally, this is so childish. This is so childish.
No, and you know, I just don't participate in things like that. My husband really, I think you would get maybe, you could get one or two or maybe even three bad people on a board, but when you're up against four bad people and it doesn't matter what the CCNR say, it doesn't matter what the law says, these four people have constant control and they are calling the shots no matter what the law says. My husband had a fiduciary duty to bring this forward, what he discovered. If not, he could have been implicated in the matter, you know, because he was asked to sign checks that were for money coming out of the reserves that were not authorized. And had he done it, just, you know, not paying attention, or found out like he did and just kept going along with it, it would have been, you know, it could have ruined our business, his career, I mean, his reputation, and honestly, that's not what he's about. So in doing the right thing, you know, these lawsuits were very expensive, and then at the end of the day, our house burned down, and we couldn't live there anymore. I mean, we sold, it took 8 months to build back, and we sold it. My husband could never move back there.
Yeah, I want to get to that a little later on. Because that's kind of the culmination of what happened. You had lawsuits. You were sued. They sued you they sued you because they couldn't sue your husband for some reason.
I think the HOA attorney was, you know, really against my husband as well. And I think because I don't think the board would have known to do this. So they were guided by somebody. And so they sued me. They didn't name my husband because he would have coverage under the directors and officers insurance. So, which covers, you know, defenses to lawsuits. So they figured he was indemnified, so sue me. So I called, I had a few law firms I was speaking with, and nobody, not one firm had mentioned anything to me about, you know, possible insurance coverage. But I contacted, out of sheer luck, one of the top firms in Orange County. I didn't know it at the time, but they told me, we're going to get you insurance coverage and for to pay your defense. And I was like, by who? My, you know. And he said, if not your own policy, the HOA's policy. And they did exactly that. They got the homeowner's, the HOA's policy, the board's own policy, who was Farmers, to pick up my entire defense on both lawsuits.
How did they manage to do that? I know we've got a lot of listeners out there who are looking, all right, how can I get my attorney to use some kind of, you know, whatever they used to do that?
Well, there is a few clauses in all of the policies. One of them, on the one case, was they were suing me for libel, and he was a contractor. So there is a advertising clause, and it's in 95% of the policies. So I got picked up for that case through that. The libel triggered it. And Farmers also picked up then, the cases were merged because technically they were the same case. The judge merged the cases, and then Farmers, I produced enough evidence showing the board the self-dealing and the money that was missing, and they picked up the whole defense.
What about the association's fees? Did the insurance pick those up as well?
No. So the board's own insurance policy covered me, and they had to pay their other legal fees for their attorney out of the operation and reserve fund.
So the homeowners picked up the cost to defend them for whatever they did.
They were suing me, so they were the plaintiffs. So they had to pay, the homeowners had to pay every end of the lawsuit. The defense, the plaintiffs, the defense, everything.
How much did it cost the homeowners?
It cost the homeowners over $250,000.
And are they aware of that, or was there this secret clause there?
The homeowners are, there's 400 and some units, so I'd say 200 people are aware. They refuse to disclose it, so when asked, I provide the documentation to the homeowners, but they can't get an answer from the board. You can see that the money's gone, but you have to push them to get the financials.
Why is it? And one of the things that you wanted was the financial information, right? That your husband had asked for?
We wanted a forensic audit because the forensic audit would have showed exactly what he did.
Did you ever get it?
They voted for it, and the board. But the choices were the person who does our books all the time.
Oh yeah, no. there's a lot of balance there, right?
Yeah. So then my husband and I wrote a letter and said, "Well, what are your qualifications? You're about ready to step into a lawsuit. It's a big conflict here if you're the one critiquing your own work, essentially." About 2 to 3 hours after getting our email, he quit. He decided he was too busy to do the job. And they brought in a real forensic accountant, and Pablo and I met with him, we on several occasions, and he said, look, this is bigger than what I thought. I need more money. You didn't present the scope to me the correct way. This was to the board. And then they said, we tried. So, no, that's it. No forensic account. We're not going to pay that.
Oh, so they didn't, they never got it?
No. So I hired, he's actually really famous. He helped bring Bernie Madoff down. His name is Michael Kessler. he coined the term forensic accountant, and he's in Rockefeller Center in New York. And he, after hearing my story, he said, "Oh, I'm going to do this for you just for what my administrative costs are." And he came back right away and said, "Look, this guy is very bad news. There's a lot of money missing. He's doing it, you know, through his real estate. You were on the right track." And then, maybe 4 months later, I found, and this is kind of the interesting Hollywood story part of it. After my house had burned down, I went to Home Depot just down the street to get, someone to come measure for cabinets. And the lady there says to me, "Oh, you know, what happened?" And I said, "Oh, we had a fire." And she starts asking me about it, and she says, "I just got laid off because of a guy who did the same exact thing, and he's in prison for it right now."
Huh?
And she said his name, and I said, "That name sounds familiar." So I look up online, and the president of our association is also involved in a huge criminal and civil lawsuit for doing a kickback scheme at Huntington Memorial Hospital in Pasadena. So three people have already been, they're serving time at Terminal Island, and his is the last case going through. So it, down to the T, it was exactly what he's doing at our, I mean, I couldn't have written it. It was laid out. It was exactly the same scam. Even involved with the same vendor who tried to run me down.
So, okay, let's go back to this vendor and this president, and they're all in bed together, and the association has clearly documented facts that the association or the condo is responsible for certain things, and the individual homeowners are responsible to maintain and repair the interior of their units. But the president, it turns out, owns a number of units in the development,
yes,
both under his name and under a corporation that he owns?
Yes, that he was the sole officer of. So this was not disclosed to the board.
So your husband discovered that he owned, what, about 6 or 7 units in there?
Yes.
And that a lot of the money that was going out for repairs was in his units?
It was almost all in his units. And nothing was reported to the management company. The checks were cut, signed by him, and, you know, paid to his friends. And he, without any knowledge by anybody.
So there was none of the board knew, I'm assuming none of the board knew, or did the other 4 board members or 3 board members know?
I think one for sure knew, the lady who, but the thing is, I don't think she understood. I don't think she was involved. I just don't think she understood what she was signing, because she trusted him so much she would just sign. So when she was on vacation, that's when he brought the checks to our house. And my husband was like, "Wait a minute! I can't sign for these. Why are this house getting $20,000 floors put in their house?" And then that's when the whole thing started.
Well, in your husband's email or his account of what happened, he said on several occasions he was asked by homeowners questions and was not able to answer them. He did not have the information. So he went to the president and asked him, "Okay, you know, what's going on here? Can you answer these questions?" And that's, I guess, when things started turning around a little bit, huh?
Yeah, because you know, the same people who voted my husband in, it's a big complex, and they were seeing all this work being done, and they would see new floors being put in, and, you know, a lot of them had leaks, and they had to fight just to get their walls painted. You know, because the association had a bare walls policy, so they fix everything, inside the walls, and the outside is, you know, your home, and that's what your insurance is supposed to pick up.
So what you had leaks inside in the units. That was a common problem.
Yeah, big problem. Slab leaks and So in some units, say, you know, the leak might be in one room, then another room. And, you know, so what, there were so many leaks, a lot of, it was hard to track. But the management company was doing a pretty, you know, a decent job, except Nick would just call his friends, because they were his friends who were working there, and he would just say, hey, I have a leak here, go fix it, and he would allow them to do everything and then just pass the check through. Well, we didn't know he owned those houses. The only way I found out he owned all those houses was because when we caught him on one unit with the floors, I went and I pulled, had my husband pull all the invoices that I could see floors were put in, and then I looked up the owner of the house, and I found out it was him.
Well, it's not just floors. There are new cabinets and just complete remodeling.
Yeah. Even I don't even know. We would ask the neighbor, hey, because the neighbors wouldn't even know that he was the owner, even, you know. So I said, hey, did you guys have a leak? Did you notice a leak? I mean, and most of them would just say, no, we just thought the person was getting, like, new, you know, they were paying for it. Whoever owned it was getting, you know, redoing their house.
So it looks like this contractor was getting somewhere in the neighborhood of $300,000 a year in work.
Yes, until I interfered.
Until shame on you, Carney. We're talking to Carney Chews Garcia, who's got one of the most horrific stories in HOAs. It just goes on. I think there's a little bit of every horror that I've ever heard of just popping through here. You also noticed that the contractor was sort of, during work hours, using the pool.
Yes, some of my neighbors, and actually my husband and I noticed, you know, he was in his swim trunks at the pool, and people were wondering, hey, you know, is he on our dime? What's going on? He would use garages to store his things, and we had a parking problem, and, you know, the work he did in people's units, it wasn't to code. And when I found out he had no license, that was where the libel came in. He said he had a license, but he did not have a license. He had a license. He got it suspended. And when I told the management company he needs to be pulled off the job, his license is suspended, he went and took care of it. So that doesn't mean his license wasn't suspended. It means, you know, I called him out on it, and he... And, it, you know, I have the printout showing. So that was something he was suing me for in court that was impossible to win. And also, during that time he was unlicensed, I found out he has a history of seizures. So he had a seizure driving a Home Depot truck in the front of our complex. He ran into our monument, like our sign, and with the concrete in the back, and woke up at the hospital.
Wow.
So kids were going to school waiting for the bus that morning, and, I mean, that all came out in the deposition as well. Because, you know, it was just one thing after another. But, you know, I'm interfering, but this guy clearly, you know, and he even, which I never in a million years thought he would admit, he admitted in the deposition that he tried to run us over, which I never thought he would admit that.
He admitted that. Why did he give a reason why he would do that?
He said, my husband and I were walking so fast. We walked the dogs really fast. And that he saw us, but he decided to back up into us because we walked too fast. He admitted it.
I mean, this guy sounds like he's got a screw loose. Now, somebody else was watching and saw that. One of your neighbors saw that and called the police, right?
Yes, but he didn't know that. And then they asked him, did you speak with the police? And he said, yes, I spoke with the police. And it was an officer who knew me very well. So he had called also the president and said, I know this is your vendor. If your vendor goes near them again, I'm going to go after him for assault with a deadly weapon. And it's not a joke. Stay away. They have a right to live in their neighborhood in peace. And he said, I don't remember what the officer said, but he told me there was no accident.
You know, I've heard of people trying to run neighbors over because they don't like them, because they've asked too many embarrassing questions, because they've raised issues that a lot of people would rather not have raised. But this is the first time I've heard of a contractor doing this. Now, it's unbelievable. I mean, I could understand the board member. I mean, I don't understand the mentality of someone doing that, but if it was the board saying, hey, wait a minute, you're interfering with me. But to have a contractor go after clients, because in essence he's working for the association, right?
Yeah, and he was above the law. That's how he felt.
And you were, in the truest sense of the words, you were clients. Now, there was another lady involved, and she ended up going to jail for a while?
She did. It was the same woman who we took to court for defamation. She ended up, she just had her her case this past week, but this weekend she's supposed to go to jail. She spent the night in jail when it happened. She's 72 years old, and she harassed a disabled homeowner to the point where neighbors had to call the police. And when the police came, they were very familiar with her. They were, you know, it doesn't matter how old she is, they're familiar with her. And they told her to stop making these phone calls and harassing the neighbor. And when the police officer left, she did it immediately. And so the disabled lady came down and showed her her phone and said, she just did it 5 seconds ago after you told her don't do it. So the officer went back, you know, to the board member's house and asked to see her phone. And when she, you know, she handed her phone and then decided, there's incriminating stuff. So she said, give me it back. And she brushed past and hit the officer's gun, and the officer took her. Like, done. You know, and so she got, it's a misdemeanor. It's like annoying harassment with annoying phone calls. And,
so that's what she was doing. She was making these phone calls?
Yeah, going to the woman's house and then calling her and just, you know, and the other neighbors saw this happening. So, and sure enough, I mean, for that, they kept her in jail for 15 hours. Just the first night, you know, and that's a pretty big jail in Orange County. I would never want to see the inside of it. And the officer, they do patrols. See, my husband and I, we walk the community so much because we have two very active dogs. So when they would come through, she came through the community and she said, I know she's not an angel. I know she, you know, she was done. I'm sick of going to her house. Like, something has to be done. And I thanked her because, you know, when a 70-some-year-old woman is harassing the neighborhood, kind of the people who say she's harassing look bad, you know?
Yeah.
But she really is not a good person. And she feels like she is above the law. They all feel above the law.
So she, you know, usually I've heard, and I think I told you this the other day when we talked, I've heard from homeowners who say that they've been arrested and handcuffed and thrown in the back of a cruiser because the board has called the police and said this person interrupts the meetings. And so even before they've done anything, we just don't want them in the meeting. So the police will come because the board has asked them to do that, which I think is absolutely horrible. But it's so refreshing to see that the police will actually come and do something to protect the homeowners when it's a board member, even an old lady, who should not be harassing people.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I was so grateful to get my ticket from the small claims court showing that she lost her judgment to me. It was so important because that proves that I'm not some crazy person just trying to get back at my neighbor. She said things that the court also saw as defamation. It's not an easy case to win because it could just you know, you have to prove that she knew those things were not true when she said them. And, you know, so if it's her opinion, but she knows that I am not Saddam Hussein. She knows I'm not KKK. And she said them anyway to the entire community. And my husband, being a board member, is considered a, you know, a political form. Yeah. So they take into consideration, you put yourself in that position. But the judge said in this case, it does not. She knew the items weren't true. They were made with malicious intent, and we never responded back to them.
So you just took it. She just put all this stuff out there. She sent out the emails, and you didn't do anything. You just let it ride.
No, my husband, I think I sent you emails. He simply said he would just email the board, and he would say, I'm asking again that we suspend the use of contractors that have a potential conflict of interest until we can get a forensic audit. And then, you know, she would write back, you're stupid, you know, that's just, it wasn't even worth responding to. He just wanted it on documentation that he's asking professionally for the right thing.
Now, this woman who spent the time in jail, I think she got fined as well.
She got fined, $2,400 and anger management classes.
And she had to go. Has she taken the anger management classes? Do you know?
The verdict just happened a week from today, last Tuesday.
Oh, it just happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering how well that's going to work out. That's going to be really interesting.
I wonder too, because she kind of got worse for a little bit after the judgment for the defamation. And then I think someone in her family maybe told her, like, you don't, you know, if this is a big sign, they can leave your house, just stop. Because she, I mean, it got to the point where we saw her on the street and she looked over at us and like pretended to do a shotgun and takes off at the light, and suddenly, like, I'm saying to my husband, we're racing a 7-year-old woman, like, stop it, this is stupid. Like, this is just crazy.
It sounds insane. It sounds absolutely...
I also, you know, after our house burned, I got a letter saying, ha, 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 you're gone. We got you out one way or the other. I mean, just...
Who from? This woman?
I don't know. I'm nobody else is down.
Oh, it was an anonymous... It was an anonymous...
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's get to the house burning. What happened? How did your unit burn down?
So my unit was attached, come to find out, to a unit, one of these units that the president bought under a corporation.
Oh, okay. I did not
know
that.
Right. Yes. Well, there was like 8-9 of them that I know for sure, but the one right next to me. And we all had decorative fireplaces, not the kind you put wood in, just, you know, you put a light switch on and it makes maybe a little blue flame that is, like, pointless.
Mm-hmm.
So most of us didn't. We turned off the gas, had the gas company come out because it was so ridiculous. Well, there were some nice tenants living in there, and their fireplace didn't work. And so lo and behold, the vendor comes, you know, the vendor, the one who tried to run us down, and he does something with the fireplace. Well, the first time those people went to use it, it started the mantle on fire. But they thought it was their fault, so they, like, put the fire out and then painted the man, you know, the mantle. And then when they moved out, there was some more work done on it. And he had this girl move in, a single mom with an autistic kid. I'll never forget. It was right in January. It got really cold. And I thought to myself, I wonder if she knows that these fireplaces aren't for heat, just something in my mind. And she turned it on at 1:30 in the morning, and our four units went up in a matter of seconds because it the gas is on high, and it's only supposed to be a little flame, so it just lit the 2x4s. There's no firewall there. It went up fast.
Four units, you said, burned down?
Yes, four. So hers, next, mine, which was attached, upstairs from mine and upstairs from hers. So it was 1:30 in the morning. My neighbor upstairs had a newborn and a five-year-old. We had seconds to get out.
Wow.
So, my husband is like Mr. Neighbor, okay? I'm telling you, everybody just loves my husband because he's a very easygoing guy. He's very diplomatic. So instead of calling the fire department, the girl upstairs ran down and got my husband. So my husband, he gets his little fire extinguisher. I didn't even know was in between our houses. And he opens the door, and he was like, oh, you know. But then the girl with the autistic child was trapped in her house. So he managed to get her out because the gas was still on full blast. And we all got out, and it took until 6 in the morning for them to put out the fire. And it took 10 to 12 months some to rebuild.
Were there other units attached, or was this sort of more a fourplex?
It was an eightplex, but everybody had to move. The whole place had to move out for, the other eight units had to move out. The firewalls were pretty, then here's the other kicker. The firewalls were 3-hour firewalls, so they should have had a 3-hour firewall, and I should have had a 3-hour firewall. Except, in that unit, after the insurance came and they started tearing everything down, the unit where the fire was, which is owned by, the president, he had cut, huge holes. I have pictures into the firewalls. So that's why my unit and upstairs from me, we had so much damage because it made it like a vacuum.
Because when I talked to you the other day, I asked you if the house was burned down deliberately, and you said you know there's no conclusive evidence, I guess, but I think you thought that perhaps there was some funny business that went along with it.
Well. We all did, because as the house is burning, my neighbors upstairs are begging me, please get all your files, make sure you get your files, because the lawsuit was already in full effect. And we all knew it, but the fire department, it's noted on there the exact reason. It was the holes cut in the firewall, and it was a modified fireplace. However, they don't think the modifications or the holes were intentional.
So it was just someone who didn't know what they were doing, basically. I think that's what you're saying.
Yes, but you also have to know. I think unless you know the whole story, the fire department just kind of like, well, why would someone want to burn down?
Wait for the movie to come out, right?
Yeah. And at that time, I had already been visiting with the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI on a bi-weekly basis, like bi-monthly basis. So I immediately called the person I was dealing with there, and he said, you need to, be safe. He told me a whole list of things, and then he said, listen, the file's not going to go unnoticed. Like, I will make sure somebody knows that this isn't just the case. And they have, with the Huntington Hospital and everything, they have a whole ongoing thing with him. He just even had bank accounts seized by the Secret Service. It's a matter of public record. So I don't know what he's all involved in, but it's not good.
So did you manage to get all your files out? But did you have time to get anything out?
I didn't have time to get any really anything out at all, because I kind of froze, and my husband was trying to race and get our hard drives. They were on the other side of the house, and help the neighbors. And then my husband is, in this internet security field. So early on, I took all the evidence and I had put it on flash drives and I sent it to people who I know all around. Some of them work for the NSA. They all have copies. So I always, from day one, had known, that this guy, it's not every day that your neighbors are being investigated by the FBI and the Secret Service. And, he'll be in the news eventually one day. Like, he already is, but he hasn't been convicted yet. His trial is going.
So he's still around. Is he still on the board?
He's still on the board.
And he's still the president.
Yes, and then I contacted the attorney for the hospital, the Huntington or Pasadena hospital, and I said, today's your lucky day because I know everything about this guy and I know all the houses he owns and I've done all the work and I've paid someone to do the work. And so my attorneys said I could talk with him. And so I'm actually helping their case, which is coming to an end. They've already secured three people, to plead guilty. He's the last to go down. So I know he'll end up doing jail time, just not for what he did to me.
So,
but he will. Like, it's coming to an end at Stanley Moss Court. So, and he's either going to run. I feel like he'll run or he'll... Another interesting story to the whole... it's just so many funny turns, like when I went to Home Depot and I meet the lady, and then I find out about the hospital. Well, after the fire, because it was his unit, he said he didn't own the unit. So everybody who was trying to make insurance claims, he said he didn't own the unit. And he doesn't know who owns the unit, but it's not him. He was just an agent. And so he got to vote on everything for that house, but he didn't own it. So I said, I know he owns it. I know he has farmer's insurance. I know he does. So I just called and I made a claim. Just like if you hit my car and you gave me the info, I just tried it.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, he did have insurance on the place.
Oh, really?
Yes. So his tenant was able to get, because he just acted like he didn't know who she was after that and left her basically homeless. And so all the people who had damage, it was a lot of renters who didn't have policies, they were able to get, some type of relief.
So these were from the units that he owned and it was his policy, right?
Yeah. Even though he didn't own it.
Even though he didn't own it. And so they were able to... you're a pretty marvelous person, Carney. I'm really impressed with you.
It was a lot of work.
I think what you've done is absolutely tremendous.
Yeah. So then, he had files locked up in our clubhouse. And I assumed... Well, they were like site plans and schematics for, the original work on our house. So farmers had asked me, do you have any original paperwork for the fireplaces? And so I knew he was the only one who had a key to that office. And my husband was a board member. He had a key to the clubhouse. So we went in, I jiggled the lock open, and I took 10 boxes out of there. And I gave them, whatever farmers needed, I gave them. And it wasn't illegal because my husband was on the board. There was a fire, so I provided them with. So a few months later, I'm reading the deposition that they took of him regarding the hospital case. And they keep mentioning these boxes that are missing, these boxes, these file boxes, these 8 file boxes. And all of a sudden, I realize I have those boxes. They were in our clubhouse. That's where he had stashed them because nobody would look there. I mean, and I realized this, and I know now they're at my parents' because I don't have a house. We're living in motels, or because of our house. We couldn't go back. So I called my dad, and I said, Dad, do those boxes say HH on those for Huntington Hospital? And he said, yes. And I'm like, okay, now I don't know what to do because now I have evidence and I don't know. I got this. So I called my attorney. My attorney called their attorney, and we wanted to make sure we followed all the rules of, you know, procedure for evidence. And they came and they got the boxes. So all this incriminating evidence, he said that, you know, he didn't have anymore, is now going to be produced at trial.
Wow. That
I think he really hates me.
You think?
Yeah,
whatever really gave you that idea,
Carney? He really hates me.
You know, it's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, you've done the right thing in that case.
Yeah.
So the house burned down. All four units burned down. They've all been rebuilt, right?
Yes, they've all been rebuilt. My neighbor sold. We both sold at the same time. We're still good friends. His son, who was 5 at the time, whenever something he smells, like if they ride by the beach and there's a fire, his son has panic attacks, which is completely understandable because I do too. I freak out whenever I smell anything like that. And because it was so fast in our house, you know. And so they moved. And then the girl above, you know, his, you know, the president's unit, she rebuilt and sold. And his unit is finally rebuilt. This is like 4 months after all of us. And he just put it up for sale. His sister is a real estate agent and has it listed.
So what are you going to do? Obviously, you're not going back. You sold, you rebuilt, you sold, you're well out of there. But you're still involved in all of the drama and the saga that goes on.
Well, the funny thing is, even though we didn't live there, the CCNRs said that you don't have to be an owner to be a board member. So my husband stayed on the board just to anger them.
Oh, he's still on the board?
He was. They had a... they created a rule at the new election, so he couldn't, but he didn't want to run again anyway. Nobody ran against them, so it's just 4 board members.
So
everyone's afraid. And the lawsuit 2 weeks before trial, because their depositions went so poorly. I mean, the vendors left in the middle of the deposition. He told my attorney that my attorney was giving him a heart attack. He went to the bathroom. He never came back. We were all sitting there, and his attorney said, I think I better go check on him. And he was gone. His car gone. He just left.
He just took off and left.
In the middle of the deposition, yeah. So, and then they interviewed, our last deposition was of the manager. They fired the management company, and the management company was deposed, and the lady, our manager, said, Pablo was my husband was the only one who was following his fiduciary duties, and the rest of them, she's never, ever in her 20 years of being a manager seen anything so ridiculous and so out of control, and the money just missing. And
well, so much for protecting your property values, right? In your case, they actually burned your house down.
And the saddest thing is, you know, 2 weeks before trial, they knew, they had a convicted felon, I sent you the paperwork on that, who was allowed to practice law still. And because I really don't think a legitimate attorney would take that case. I mean, there was no case there. And,
oh, I don't know. I've seen some attorneys take some dog cases just to get the money. I mean, they'll do it for the money. But you know,
there was no money to be made. I mean, they paid me to go away, and I put in writing that if they were not elected to the board, I would give every penny back of a new board, because I'm not going to take the money from my friends in the community, which is what, you know, they have to pay. A settlement to me, which I don't even want, is their own money off their own back. And nobody ran against them, so I have the money in the trust.
Carney, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your story.
You're welcome.
Good luck, and please keep in touch.
I listen to you all the time, so I will definitely keep in touch.
Awesome. Thanks, Carney.
Thank you. Bye.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.